brought to you by Penguin.
Country Life, written and read by me, Giles Wood.
And me, Mary Killen. Introduction. In our last book, The Diary of Two Nobodies, Giles and I charted a year in the lives of two technically incompatible people living together in a country cottage. One socially ambitious, the other a recluse, happiest when staring into a ditch and going slowly downhill, as one old friend observed. Correction, we're not completely incompatible. We share a sense of humour and a taste in friends. But in this book, we turn the lens away from ourselves to examine the world outside the cottage window. 30 years ago, when we moved to Wiltshire, the decision made financial sense. For the same price as a basement in the outskirts of London, we could have a full cottage with 1 acre of garden in a beauty spot with real villagers around us, i.e. not weekenders. I would be cheated of the social possibilities of the city, but Giles and our then baby would be far happier. Others were following suit. It made sense to them too, especially to those who could exchange a 3-bed flat in Islington for an old rectory in the country. The trickle became a flood during the pandemic. In the absence of FOMO, no one anywhere was doing anything social or cultural. Why not do nothing in the country? Country living, it suddenly became clear, offered a better quality of life, beauty, space, community, and health. Once you could work from home, what did the city offer other than gridlock, where all traffic moves at the pace of a horse and cart? Police sirens, parking fines, unaffordable housing, and an unnerving atmosphere of transience, as though the whole metropolis is one giant airport terminal. And cities are no longer the cultural hubs they were in the days when all artistically aspiring youths were magnetised to the city, where they would meet soulmates and cultural partners. You need money or a rich parent to live in London these days. Now provincial hubs for artists have come into play all over the country, from Faversham to Bruton to Frome to Ludlow. You will find enough people on your wavelength, the new colonisers. Of course it's nicer to live here, isn't it? Judge for yourself as you read on. Read in the spirit of what it would be like if you were one of our friends and trapped in the cottage with us, listening to us droning on. There will be some stimulating nuggets within the monotony, and the, I consider, wonderful testimonies included from real countrymen, indigeni, who set the whole life of the incomers into context.
The green comet of 2023 is so rare that woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers were still roaming the Wiltshire Plains when it last appeared 50,000 years ago during the age of the Neanderthals. We were staying with my more successful younger brother, who has no street lighting to contend with, and so I was able to spot the green fuzzy blob of the comet in the clear skies above his secluded garden. For 30 years, the 3 streetlights in our village have tormented me. But, say some, surely you don't object to the new energy-efficient dimmer LED versions? Well, yes, I do, actually. According to my British Wildlife magazine, the former orange sodium lights were, paradoxically, less damaging to biodiversity and moths than the new LED ones. Either way, on return to our grottage, I was forced to walk some distance in the freezing cold to find a spot away from light pollution where I might try to take a second look at the mysterious fuzzy blob then approaching the constellation Camelopardalis. In some ways, as a malcontent, the Neanderthal age might have suited me because life would involve only binary choices, such as eat or die, except that I am not a team player, which would have meant an even shorter life expectancy. But on the plus side, plenty of bioabundance, and at least I could have got through life without medical...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?